Well, hi everybody, Pastor Brian and Pastor Lance here with another one of our Distinctives Conversations. These conversations are all about kind of areas of focus that we feel like God has given us. Churches have all sorts of different issues that they focus on. No church can focus on everything, but we just have some particular issues outside of kind of our core doctrine and the core of Christianity that God has really laid on our heart that are important to us here at Bridgeway. And we want those of you that attend or are considering attending just to know, hey, what are the kind of the issues that are really important to us? And Pastor Lance, to start this conversation, I want to tell you a story.
Right on.
About the first time I came to Bridgeway. So I grew up in this area, became a Christian in high school, then had spent 12 years living in Southern California. And during that time, felt a call to ministry, had gone to seminary, had served at a couple of churches. And then we moved back. And, you know, like you do in life, I kept in touch with various people over the years. And I would hear from a handful of, you know, folks who were in my same era at the church that I attended in high school. I'd hear about kind of the church scene in Rockland, Roseville, whatever. And I'd hear about this church called Bridgeway. And I thought it was a new church. I hadn't heard of it before. And, oh, yeah, there's this church Bridgeway and this, you know, Pastor Lance and this and that and the other. And I'd heard all about you from different people. And I'd watched it online a couple times because I'm like, I'm just curious. Like, okay, what's the... Actually, it wasn't even online back then. I was watching a video.
Right.
But so we moved back to the area. And my wife and I are looking for a church, and we had a couple of connections a few different places, but we were living in Roseville, and I'd heard a lot about Bridgeway, so I wanted to check it out, like maybe this would be a good spot for us. And we walk in, go through the service, worship, and the whole thing, and you get up and start talking. And this is, you know, years ago, but back then, we had this little, like, internal social network, right, yes. Which, of course, you know all about, where we could communicate with one another, have posts and this and that, but it was just for Bridgeway.
Yeah, it was like our private Facebook.
Right, a little private Bridgeway Facebook, which is a very mid-2000s reference if there ever was one. But anyway, you get up there and you start rebuking the congregation at the beginning of your message because on the city, people were like trashing another church in town and you're like, no, we're not going to do this. Now, the first church I worked at, which was great in a lot of different ways, one of the things that bugged me about it, it was very like just us. And like the churches down the street are our competition and everything else. And that always rubbed me the wrong way. So I walk into Bridgeway. You haven't even opened the Bible yet. You start doing this and I'm going, I like this guy.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about regional unity.
Yeah.
And that is something that has been on your heart for a long time.
Yeah.
And it really impacts the way we do things. We're big on relationships with other churches. Yes. We're big on speaking positively of other churches. Talk a little bit about why is that important to you and why is that more important to kind of us as a church?
Yeah, this is one of those distinctives out of many of our distinctives that I can look at in a more recent fashion. And when I say recent, I'm talking about decades. But when I actually had a transformation in my life to begin to see things very, very differently.
Yeah.
A lot of things that I've held since I was very, very young. And so I've always had a love for people. I always hated division. I was always a peacemaker. And the idea of competition with other churches always felt uncomfortable for me. However, I will say that when you end up becoming so passionate about your church and so interested in what God has you do, and you're constantly chasing after what is right. And once again, I part of my growing up was really about apologetics and trying to get things right.
Mm-hmm.
So early when I began my pastoral ministry and kind of career, I really had this passion to build the right church the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Those words sound so beautiful and it comes from a really good heart. And so if you're one of these right now that you're like, what's wrong with that? Okay, I need you to come join.
I
want to
build the wrong church.
Yeah, nobody says that. That you're going to have to join me in my transformation process. Because the minute you start talking about the right church the right way, it means automatically there is the wrong church.
Yep.
and the wrong way. And what it does is it creates in your mind, there are some that are closer to what God desires and further from what God desires. And you go, well, isn't that true? Well, hold on, depends on what you're talking about. And I was so obsessed with trying to make Bridgeway right. When I would hear about other churches doing something, I found myself needing to critique them or make a judgment based on their whatever they were about, right? If it was their philosophy or their vision statement or whatever, because I was trying to say, is that the most right? And it was about, man, we're going to go way back, over a decade, close to a decade and a half ago. And I received a call from a local pastor. And I didn't know him too well. And he is such a loving guy. I knew he was from a church that was a little bit different than Bridgeway. And he came and he said, hey, I just want to know if we could meet. He's another senior pastor. And I said, well, sure, absolutely. So I met with him and he said, I have two questions for you. And he said, first question, do you have a heart for revival in our region? And I said, no, I don't. And he was totally shocked. He goes, you don't have a heart for revival. I said, you asked me. Don't ask me a question you don't want me to answer to. Is it a good thing? Yeah. But you asked me if I had a passion for it. I'm not currently holding a passion for this. And he goes, okay. Like, you know, I was supposed to answer the right way. I didn't answer the right way. He said, all right, I'm going to ask you another question. Do you have a heart for the next generation to raise up? And I said, no. And he's like, really? And I was like, I don't think this is going well.
You're 0 for 2.
I'm 0 for 2. And he's like, you don't care like that new people that aren't, there's not a lot of young leaders rising up. And I was like, no, because in my mind, I was still going, I'm still trying to catch up. Like, come on, I don't think that way. And what I realized as I left that conversation, because he said some words that I couldn't shake. He said, Lance, I need you to succeed. You are one of the young leaders that I'm looking at that gives me any hope for our region. And if you don't succeed, I'm very afraid for our next generation. He said, I will give you whatever resources I have. I will give you whatever attention you need, but you must succeed. And I was like, it was so odd. I had never heard this from another pastor. Mm-hmm. I had heard kindness from other pastors. I heard invitation to different things. But I never heard, I will sacrifice to make your church successful. And all of a sudden, it just happened to be that we were in a season of our church where we were trying to look for another property. And he and his wife came out and donated $1,000 to our campaign.
Wow.
In that process, the Holy Spirit radically changed my perception.
Yeah.
It was the first time a fire got lit in me that I went, I never again want to be in animosity or division with any other church. I want to champion them. I want to be for them. I finally saw it happen in front of me, and it was so winsome. And it wasn't that his actions, it was that God gave me a fire and a passion to say, don't you ever look at another church as if they are not your brothers and sisters. Don't you ever think about the body of Christ being splintered. There is one body of Christ. I've said it over and over in my word. And you must always fight for others. You want them to thrive. When everyone thrives together, we all rise up. These are my children. Yeah. And I could not shake it. From that moment forward, we have to be unified. And we have to fight for one another.
That's absolutely right. And it's, you know, I think it's interesting. It's really easy to fall into two traps. I think number one is, like you said, you're trying to build the right church the right way.
Yes.
And I think even whether you're a pastor or a congregant or, you know, whatever the case may be, okay, we make our decisions to run this church in line with our convictions,
right? That's correct.
And it's easy to then, yeah, go to that place where you're like, oh, well, other convictions must be wrong.
That's right.
Or you go, okay, well, I've chosen to attend this church for XYZ reasons. Therefore, I think it is the best church and it's better than all other churches.
That's
and
right.
It's like, okay, well, number one, we don't know, our convictions could be wrong in some ways. Number two, I think when we get to that place of evaluation,
that's the problem.
Number one, it's a game you can't win.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, it does. It creates this sort of competition element.
Yes.
But I think the other side of it is to go, okay, it's easy to get really locked in on just what you're doing because yes. life is busy and ministry is difficult and everything else. And I've certainly been guilty of this at different times where I'm just not even thinking about what's going on at other churches, what is God doing in different parts of the region, because I'm so fixated on my own stuff. Mm-hmm. But something I appreciate here at Bridgeway, and that, you know, thankfully is modeled by a lot of other churches in the region, is that heart to go, no, we're all in this together. No, we're going to have pastors from different churches speaking here, or we'll go speak other places. We're going to do different things to kind of let folks know, hey, we're not in competition with each other, but rather, like, we are all on the same team on Jesus's side fighting against the enemy, and we want to be able to lift one another up. I'm curious to hear from you, and I think this will be helpful for our viewers and our listeners. As you've now kind of had a heart for regional unity for a long time, what are some of the benefits you've seen just in kind of what God's doing here in the region, what God's doing through the pastors, like what God is doing through different churches? How has that changed? Like, what have been some of the benefits of this pursuit of unity by you and others on our staff and tons of other pastors from around the region?
Yeah, so some simple practical things. First of all, it does release your heart.
Yeah.
As opposed to constantly trying to evaluate everything that everybody else is doing without celebrating, right? I mean, evaluation and no celebrate, that's just a recipe for disaster. Practically speaking, it has gone all the way to the degree that we have yearly big blowout healing worship nights. And we've invited other churches. I've had other church leaders and prayer warriors come in and pray healing over our congregation.
Yeah.
We have had other leaders come. We have a lot of guest speakers from other churches come in. They have come in and spoken transformational messages that helped the discipleship of our entire body. We were so blessed. There's been everything from them coming in, other leaders, because I actually manage an awful lot of different pastors in the area and invest into them. They have invested into me just as much. Yeah. They're pouring into me. There's times when I was down, they were lifting me up. They're fighting for me and interceding for me. I'm going over and preaching at their church. When you have everybody in a we're family, we got each other's back, there's constant blessing, defense, constant goodness. There was a share of ideas. There's a iron sharpening iron. And you begin to watch the body. See, unfortunately, we think of the body as a limited church.
Yeah.
No, the body is time-wide, worldwide. The body operating together, using its gifts together. You have the charismatic churches blessing the conservative churches. You have the high church being blessed by the informal churches. You have the, right? And so it just, you begin to see all this beautiful inner working with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. I told you my story at the beginning.
Yeah.
Why do we make a point when we can to speak positively of other churches that are around us? Well, I mean, it's not like we're getting up every weekend and doing that, but whenever there's an opportunity, we seek to do so. And certainly we're never going to be publicly critical of another church. Well, right. Why do we choose to take that posture?
Yeah, we're trying to really create a culture where there is not a sense of competition outside of the leadership system. So everybody, if you're one big family and you're speaking negatively about that, that stuff tends to grow.
Yeah.
It's almost like quashing not even gossip, because it could just be legitimate information that they were processing. But when you're processing your hurts and hangups and habits, there are appropriate environments for that and they're inappropriate. And when a lot of sliming of another church goes, it tends to catch on. It becomes a new cultural vibe. Yeah. Then all of a sudden it's an us versus them. Oh, we're on different softball teams. And now there are rivals. All of that is so dangerous. And here's the truth. The truth is the Christian community is big, but it's not so big that you don't all have shared friends. And what you end up doing is you end up having everybody know each other and you're talking badly about somebody else. I know all these other pastors and they're killing themselves to do a great job.
Yeah.
And they're getting critiqued by my sheep or my friends or my family or my loved ones. That just crushes me. And so I would never want that other pastor to go, I felt torn down by your side of the family.
Yeah.
And so it really, it's kind of a family dynamic issue.
Yeah. And I think that where this becomes tricky is there are a lot of really important issues
yes.
that we might differ with one another
That's right.
on. And sometimes those disagreements can be pretty, you know, pretty pronounced. And mm-hmm. and even some of the distinctives content we're talking about. I don't know that regional unity is like super controversial, but no. but there are certainly some of these other topics we're discussing, there are a lot of different perspectives. And we'd go, yes. man, we've got a perspective that we think is really important. And I think you can pursue unity while at the same time going, well, we think these issues are very, very yes. important. But I think almost the bigger kind of broader matter within that is whether as leaders, as church members, congregants, whatever, we can choose to live our lives seeking to point out the flaws in others.
Right.
Seeking to point out, oh, well, I left that church because they're terrible and da-da-da-da-da, or I'm just like constantly sort of embittered about something.
Yes.
Or constantly in that critique lens.
Yes.
Or we can live our life through the lens of, okay, let's worry about the log in my eye.
That's right.
Which is not nearly as fun as worrying about the speck in someone else's.
That's true.
Let's remember Jesus said in John 17 that we are to pursue unity. And sometimes that's really, or he prayed for us to be united. And sometimes that's hard. Sometimes that's messy. Sometimes feelings get hurt, but it's important. And I think for our own health as individuals and as a community to go, we're not going to spend a lot of our energy in critique mode. We're not going to spend a lot of our energy on
right.
let's speak negatively of what was no. in the past at other places. And instead going, okay, there might be times and places where that's appropriate or even necessary, but our biggest point of emphasis is how can we move forward in following Christ? And then how can we, to the extent that God gives us influence or resources or whatever, leverage that for the benefit of our brothers and sisters who are in other congregations? Because like you said, the church is not just us, right?
No, no. You know, I think you said that, you accurately said that, you know, this isn't super controversial. There's not a lot of pastors out there going, I believe we should hate other churches. I think they practically say that. But what is controversial about it is that there's a danger.
Yeah.
And the danger is many ecumenical movements, or let's get everyone together, the sake of unity, ends up either watering down things or inviting in non-Christian elements.
Yeah.
And so I think that there's a lot of boundaries that are important.
Yeah.
However, I think that depending on what you would consider core, mm-hmm. and some church denominations consider certain things core that we would not consider core, our core kind of is like Apostles' Creed and yeah. maybe one other thing. You know what I mean? It's like very tiny. Yeah. Everything else is what we would consider a secondary issue.
Yeah.
And so we have a lot more freedom to be unified because we are not dying on every hill.
Yeah.
There are some denominations and some churches that have a much broader base of what is considered core, and they cannot compromise.
Yeah.
So depending on where your church is on that structure, you'll notice whether or not they're inclusive or exclusive.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that we don't believe in boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
For example, there are streams of faith that we do not believe are healthy. We don't believe they're biblical, and we don't believe that they are authorized by the Lord.
Yeah.
That is not something we're going to promote.
Yeah.
We can give kindness. We can give honor to. We can give, you know, even in terms of have personal relationships.
Sure.
But we're not going to say, hey, let's gather with that other faith tradition and we're going to fuse together.
Right.
So I think it's important for all, there's a limit
sure.
to where the unity can go. What we're seeking to do is if God calls that there's one body, mm-hmm. you better be real clear if you start creating a distinction line yeah. that they are not saved, not children of God. Now, there are churches that we know about that aren't necessarily healthy, and you would go, all right, so to what degree can you do things with them if you're not trying to promote maybe their dysfunction or what have you? In one sense, you got to have grace. In another sense, you got to have a humility of going, well, I don't know, they're probably smelling something on us too. You know what I mean? They're like, man, I don't like what they do about that. But I do think that there's some wisdom that can allow you to create proper boundaries. But I think our posture is what's distinctive about us.
Yeah.
The posture is, I will unify as far as I can.
Yeah.
And that's my heart.
That it's essential Christian doctrine,
yes.
Apostles' Creed level stuff to go, okay, these yes. are the kind of the boundary markers of the faith that, right. that God has created. And you're right. I mean, I've seen how these ecumenical interfaith type movements,
yes.
which like there's some benefit to it. Like I
there's
think there can,
beautiful
be, there
about
can
it.
Be some goodness that can come from that. Right. But like we're not talking about a Christian gathering at that point, right? Like it's something
right.
different. But I think, you know, it's so often we swing so far the other direction to go, okay, if we're not lining up perfectly
yes.
doctrinally, then we can't speak positively, we can't say. And I think about this is a silly example, but like, okay, so we practice believer baptism here at Bridgeway.
Yes.
And there are tons of Christians all over the world who practice infant baptism.
Yes.
And we do not, right?
Right.
We will not baptize your baby. We will pray for your baby. We will dedicate your baby to the Lord. We're not going to baptize right. this baby until this baby can make its own profession of faith, right?
Right?
So does that mean that we cannot ever do anything with a church in town that practices infant baptism?
No, of course.
Of course not. Now, we're probably not getting together for a like
for a baptism
service, right? But like we can do other things. We could go on a mission trip together
That's
and talk
right.
about Jesus. We could serve downtown. We could do whatever, you know? And that idea of going, okay, if we're clear on the essentials.
That's correct.
And there's room for wisdom and discernment about, you know, particular dysfunction and yeah. all of that. But if we're clear on the essentials, we can celebrate the essentials as they are lived out, you know, with others. And understanding, yeah, okay, these essentials give us boundaries. When we say we practice regional unity,
yes.
that doesn't mean we're going to be amplifying, like you said, voices that are contrary
to
core Christian doctrine. And I think it's just, I don't know. To me, and I'd imagine you think similarly on this, I've sort of painted this picture of two extremes in so many things in society today. It's like
right.
you're either one extreme or the other. There is a massive middle ground.
That's correct. That's yeah. correct. Yeah. So I don't believe that we could hold the same distinctive if we didn't have such a high value for diversity
yeah.
and the power of diversity. So here's the truth. The truth is that every church should really do three things. Fish, feed, worship. What does it mean? Discipleship, evangelism, and the worship to the glory of God. Those are really the three things every church should do.
Yeah.
Everything else is what God has whispered into their leadership soul to be able to say, hey, I need you to cover this part, cover this part, cover this attitude, have this perspective, do this. So I believe God disciples regions. And so you need difference. You need big church, small church, medium church. You need churches that are more homogenous and more that are more multicultural. You need churches that are maybe more conservative and more charismatic. You need churches that are a little bit more wealthy and a little bit more that are reaching more the struggling. And when you have all this beautiful diversity, you're not looking for the right way. You're discerning, oh, how beautiful God gave them another part of the kingdom to handle.
Yeah.
And you start celebrating their wins.
Yeah.
It's not like you. It shouldn't be like you. It should be like them. They're being fully them. And when you, we have a very high view of, man, if we're talking about secondary issues, I love the debate. Let's bring on the debate because then we're all going to grow more. When you have that kind of core value, the idea of regional unity becomes so much easier. And once again, just practically speaking, it has allowed me to invest into pastors that don't do things like we do it.
Mm-hmm.
It allows me to make sure that other people thrive that I would go, I wouldn't even go to that church. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because once again, it doesn't have to be just like Bridgeway. It has to be what God called them to be.
Yeah, yeah. Diversity, yeah, I think it's funny. I think we avoid it because it's difficult, mm-hmm. right? Whether we're talking, I mean, any, pick your area of life. It is challenging. It invites mess. It invites disagreement. And I think especially in today's day and age where so much of our interaction with one another is not in relationship, it's in, say, online forums where
right.
we just go like straight to controversy. We really lack the skills to like, or I should say, we can get ourselves to the position of like, oh, well, if we disagree on baptism, I guess we have to talk about that every time we're together.
Right.
It's like, no, actually.
Nope, we actually don't.
There are a very large number of topics that can be discussed outside of that. But the truth is, when we invite diversity of thought, diversity of background, diversity of socioeconomic status, all of that, it invites difference, obviously, by definition. And there's messiness that comes with that. But man, you think about if we just remain siloed to people who worship the way that we do, the people that believe exactly the same way that we do, down to the last little point of doctrine, down to people that, look like us and are, and express themselves in worship in the same way, that might be comfortable. But man, like, that's not going to get us where we need to be in terms of our personal maturity, in terms of our ability to kind of just navigate in the world as a as a kind and empathetic person. And that's why I just think diversity and unity and all of that is worth the fight, even if it is personally uncomfortable, as it often is, right?
Yeah, unity is worth fighting for.
Yeah.
But it's tough.
Yeah.
You know, the amount of trying to get people on the same page, especially in areas of their passion, is just brutal.
Yeah, no, that's true. And I think even, I don't know, I certainly say for myself, yeah, I got things I'm real passionate about that it can be tough to go down that direction. But last thing on this topic is just the practicality of it. If we're trying to help folks understand, okay, hey, we're a church that really values regional unity.
Yep.
How is that expressed in Bridgeway's ministries?
Yeah, so we've cited a couple different things. Things like having other teachers from other churches to come in here.
Yep.
For us to hand our pulpit over is really saying, hey, may you bless with authority our people. That is a lot of trust that goes into that. And so, but that is a way of showing someone else, saying, I believe in you, I've examined you enough, and I think I would love to be able to be vulnerable with you.
Yeah.
So I think that is very, very important. I'm a part of a very significant ministry in the area that gets together hundreds of pastors every quarter. And what that part of that is, I actually mentor a number of young pastors. So it's a matter of pouring into them, getting them our resources, whatever we need. I think it is also, as we have said, speaking well about other churches, making sure that our culture is a healthy one that promotes other people. I think that there's times that we can do ministry partnerships. So we've done mission trips with other churches. We've done prayer times with other churches. We've done conferences with other churches. I think that is very, very important. I think praying for other churches is super important. And I think for every individual to be able to say, is my heart pro what God is doing in other locations that aren't a part of me? I think all those are critical.
Yep, absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Very well said. Regional unity, it is a big deal. So if you're looking for someone to bash your former church to, don't come to us. Frankly, don't come to anybody.
Yeah.
Probably not necessary, but no, we really do believe in regional unity, lifting one another up and encouraging other churches around our region. So there you go, regional unity, Bridgeway Distinctive.